Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and this is episode number 244. Sorry we're a little bit delayed this week. We had a few technical glitches, but you know, the internet is the internet. It's what happens. But
watch your power bars, people. Come on.
I know. It's true.
Get good power bars.
But we got lots of news to cover this week. Before we get into that, I want to introduce you to the friendly voices around this digital table. Catherine, how's it going?
I'm good. It was my fault. 100%.
Yeah, Kat's internet gave out on her Thursday night, right when we were about, or Wednesday night, right when we were about to podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also the fact that you share internet with your brother downstairs, so it's kind of like you need a pretty decent router for it to work properly. Yeah. So, sharing internet. I don't know how you do it. It's my internet, and I want it now.
So many conversation of my brother being like, you know, trying to cut costs, and he's like, we could lower the internet package, and me and Pascal were like, no, if you do that, we're getting our own internet. I'm paying $200 a month myself if I have to get like the beefiest.
Like, you don't even need to. I pay 80 and I have 400 download and 50 upload. Like, that's more than enough for two people. It's like way too much for two people.
And my boyfriend works from home, and like, we're gamers, and like, I told him, like, if you want me to, I actually pay more of the internet than he does because there's
more users.
But I was like, dude, and I got a beefy router. Like, Amazon came in clutch. Thank you, Amazon, with the Amazon Prime.
Thank you, Amazon, so for your horrible work practices for
let's not go delivering
us wonderful packages.
Oh my goodness gracious. Simon, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Currently it's the Rainbow Six Siege Invitational that's going
right.
Live. Yeah, it started yesterday. And so North American teams are doing super well so far. I'm really sad because I'll miss the finals. I was invited to go to the event at Place Belle, but fortunately, I'll be in Disney World. So, it's sad, but at the same time, it's for a good reason. So,
is that next week or the week after?
This weekend. Well, not like this weekend, but the next weekend.
The next weekend. Okay, like, so will Valentine's you be on Day. Next episode Wednesday night?
Yes, but not the one after.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure I got my date straight.
Yeah,
the days are all kind of blurring together in the wintertime, not going to lie.
January felt like it lasted 2 years. Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
it was long this year. Yep, that's the truth.
I mean,
Allie... Oh, go ahead.
Same length as every year, but it just felt longer.
I know. Well, February gets one extra day this year. Just saying.
Yeah, a plus. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Allie is out this week. I'm actually really jealous and can't wait to catch up with her next week because she went and saw a Trixie Mattel show. So I'm like super stoked. And then when we moved the time to reschedule, of course, we're recording this super early in the morning to be able to get it in. But that doesn't work when you're on the West Coast.
Yeah. It's super early gamer-wise, as in
exactly.
10 a.m.
well, minus 3 hours, and then you can understand why she doesn't want to get up.
No,
We get into what everybody's been playing this week, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. So first off, the docket. If you enjoy this show, don't forget you can subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. Additionally, if you would like to acquire some GOG merch, you know, support your GOG pride on your body, you can do that by going to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. And if you feel so inclined and you would like to give us a little tip, buy us a coffee, you can do so by supporting us at ko-fi.com/girlsongames. That's ko-fi.com/girlsongames. All right, guys, I'm not going to lie. My what I've been playing this week is week and not week at the same time. I got back into Stardew Valley, and yeah, bought it, as I mentioned last time, for the fourth time on a different console, and now I'm trying to achievement hunt on an Xbox.
That's never weak. How is that weak?
So it's weak because I feel like it's not something interesting and new to talk about. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel guilty coming out here not having something to talk about.
Stardew Valley is life.
We don't play games like, just for this podcast.
Honestly, like, this could be a knitting podcast, and people would still like to listen because they like us for the personality.
I know, but I feel like having like some praise to give to a game or a rant, and I just don't because I need my comfort food, and that's Stardew Valley and trying to get all the achievements. By the way, winter in Stardew Valley feels like winter right now, where there is nothing to do.
That's why you gotta have the outhouse and all that stuff. Not the outhouse. That's
you
the
mean
poopy
the greenhouse?
Place.
The greenhouse is where you go to use the bathroom.
The French in me came out now. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. But yeah, I definitely. And I'm just not there yet because the first year, and that's it. I'm trying to maximize every day in the first year to really get the best bang for my buck. And it's just like, I can't move fast enough to get that. Because you need like the artisan bundle, which has so much stuff that you can't get until later in the game. So, but I was thinking because my... I love how this game is on like every single console, and my brother's fiance unfortunately broke her foot the other night and is waiting in hospital because she's got to get surgery on it. And I think I might holler at her and say, yo, you want something to play? You've got your iPad there. Here's a good game for you to play as you wait in the hospital.
That's very nice.
I think she'd enjoy it because it's not, I don't think she's much of a gamer. My brother is hardcore. We're constantly talking about video games, but Crystal, she's not. So she's never played Stardew Valley. No. So I think I might introduce her to it. I might give her a call. Cause you know, when you're stuck in the hospital bed, like you can't do anything until Monday. So it's gotta be fucking boring.
it's actually a great game to like kind of set someone up who's never really gamed before. Cause it's very simple and straightforward, but very addictive. Yeah. So. Get them into it.
My colleague's girlfriend.
That was evil. Sorry, Kat.
I'm an evil gamer.
Okay. My colleague's girlfriend, she started working at Ubisoft like a year ago. He got her a job as an admin assist on a project that's completely different from his. Mm-hmm. But after that, at one point he comes up to me like, I don't know, 6 months ago. And he's like, she's talking to me about something called... like Stardew Valley. I was like, did she start to play? She bought it last night. Just she was supposed to come over. She didn't. I was like, dude.
You're not going to see her for a bit.
Because she wanted to get more into games because like she works at Ubi. She manages a calendar, but she was like, I should know more about this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking at wholesome games because Ubisoft make great games, but there's a lot of guns. We're not going to hide it. So she's not into that. So when she heard about Stardew Valley, because everybody talks about it all the time, she started playing, and now she's looking for other games like that to play.
There's a lot.
So I sent them... Yeah, I sent them the Twitter feed of wholesome games. I was just like, here you go.
There's a Twitter feed of wholesome games?
Yes.
Catherine, send that my way.
I think it's called...
I didn't know this thing existed.
Games.
At Wholesome Games? You're kidding. Wholesome. All right, we have to put this in the show notes. Now we all go
games.
To Twitter.
Oh, yeah, there you go. _ Wholesome Games.
_
Wholesome Games. And it's just games that, like, you know, just in the banner, you see that there's Untitled Goose Game right there. There's...
Following.
Yeah, so it's a nice mix of indie and major AAA because, like, stuff like... what was it, like the Captain Toad games and things like that?
Oh, yeah.
Just stuff that will make, like Stardew Valley, that will make you feel velvety and warm inside.
I love it.
My time at Portia is a good...
Yeah.
I think it was in there.
Yeah,
I'm expecting them to go...
I see a lot of the stuff, a lot of stuff we're familiar with. Like they had the Thunder Lotus Spiritfarer game image.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're going to go hard for Animal Crossing because that's a wholesome one too.
Oh my God.
A lot of people are going to go hard for Animal Crossing.
I'm kind of gone into a blackout on Animal Crossing because I don't want to know anymore. Except for the fact that I really want that Switch edition that kind of...
It's already sold out.
I know, but I'm like, I'm trying to be good and not, you know, like go a little too crazy on spending too much money on video game stuff. Oh, but oh, they have Ooblets on here. Guys, I can't wait for that game. Guys, every time I see a dev blog update from Ooblets, I'm just like, oh, so cute. There's another wholesome game actually that put out. It's an early access game that I've been following for a while. I played it when it just came out in early access, and now they're at 0.9 in their update. I'm not sure when they're going to come out with the full thing, but it's called Littlewood. Do you guys remember this game I told you about?
Yeah,
so I'm going to go and dive into that later on this afternoon too, because they have lots of updates since I last played. I'm going to start a new playthrough and see what's new. But yeah, go check out Littlewood if you like following the development of games that are wholesome games, because that's a really good one that I've played so far, and very similar to Stardew Valley in the sense that, you know, you have some of the same mechanics as farming and things like that, but you actually construct the village. And there are rules you have to follow, like one person wants to live next to somebody else, but maybe they want to live up on a hill, and like rules and that kind of stuff that you need to follow. And then you got to like furnish their houses, and they're particular about what they want in their houses and stuff like that. So it has like Animal Crossing vibes, Stardew Valley vibes. Go check it out. It's cute. Kat, what have you been playing?
I'm still on The Witcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished the whole story arc in Novigrad with Dandelion and Horsen Jr., and now I'm just doing some side quests. Because as soon as Dandelion was like, come see me, I got shit I want to talk to you about, I'm like, I need to go to get on that ride. Like, that's gonna be an adventure.
You know it.
Do you play in English or in French?
I play in English.
Okay. Because a friend of mine was saying that Dandelion in the French version of The Witcher of the game is called Yaskier, just like in the series.
Oh yeah, they kept the real name.
Yeah, well the Polish name or the whatever. Polish.
Why
name,
didn't they keep his name? Why Dandelion? And that's a Witcher not his thing. Real name either, right?
No. Well, so. I mean, no, his real name is Yaskier or whatever or something. But like Dandelion is a name that they decided to call him, I think, at the first game, and it just stuck. I don't know why they did it though.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was like Yaskier was like too complicated to.
Yeah, but where at one point in the game, they tell you his full name, like he reads.
Yeah, I remember that.
What was it? But I don't think it's Yaskier at all.
I'm trying to remember now. But yeah, I know Dandelion is his nickname, and I always thought that was kind of weird. I'm like, why Dandelion? Like, nobody else has a name like that in the game. Like, a weird name like that.
Julian Alfred Pankratz.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's his full name.
And of course, where I had no context, and it was like, Dandelion? Who the heck is Dandelion?
Yeah, when you first meet Yaskier in the show, I was like, is that Dandelion?
Yeah, me too. I was confused.
I still haven't watched the show.
Yeah, well, because also I read some of the books, so I knew of a character named Yaskier in the books, but I kind of didn't put it together that was Dandelion at first. So I was like, is there two bards? What is this?
Like, do you think they did that because they think that, you know how often like Japanese, you know, you have like a Japanese anime and they change their names to be easier in English? Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember Yu Yu Hakusho, his name is Yusuke, but in English they've made him Eugene. I'm like, why? Eugene just doesn't work. Like, why do you have to Americanize it?
But,
they did the same thing, Sailor Moon and everything. Just keep their damn names.
Well, you know, the soft J could be hard for Americans to say, so they make on Jaskier or whatever, so I think they just...
Well, we should learn. You know what I mean? We should become cultured, right?
I agree. It's, you know... And it's Polish. It's not like it's Japanese or whatever. So it's
and it's
not
a game that,
bad. That
has voice acting.
Yeah.
They can teach us.
They'll hear it.
They could totally, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. How about you, Simon? What are you playing?
I've been playing Monster Hunter World, of course. I finished the main story. I'm not sure that I really like the end game so far.
Okay.
It's a lot of grinding. It's very grindy. You gotta kill a lot of stuff and do a lot of things over and over to be able to unlock all the monsters, because there's like 5 or 6 monsters that you have to unlock at the end. And if you want to do like the the best sets and the best items, you got to get to those monsters. So me and Pascal, Catherine's boyfriend, were like, that's a lot of grinding. Do we really want to do all that grinding? And so, yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to do it, but or it's still fun. And Siege, of course, I bought the Battle Pass for the Invitational, so I got to play if I want to unlock all the skins.
So how does the Battle Pass work for Siege?
So you have 15 days, I think, or 20 days, I don't remember. And like you buy it, and then by playing, you just get points. And by getting points, you unlock things like skins, like loot boxes, alpha packs, they're called, and that kind of stuff. There's also challenges. So you have to kill people with silencers, you have to destroy gadgets, all that kind of stuff. And they also introduced a new special map for the event. So every weekend before the Invitational, it's called the Arena, I believe. And it's a game mode, basically, where every operator is unlocked. So if you don't have all the operators in the game, you can jump in there and play any of them you want. And it's a special map made specifically for the Invitational. I mean, it's the layout is exactly the same as God, I don't remember the name of the map. Anyway, it's a map that already exists, but they kind of just reskinned it. And but it's still very cool, and like they made this whole cinematic video, and there's a lot of new cool skins, elite skins as well, that you can get while playing the game. So it's a fun little game mode. We played a little bit when it first came out, but it's cool. But we kind of like playing unranked more than playing casual, because it's in the casual playlist. Okay. And we're like, casual kind of sucks, so we'd rather go play unranked.
Is like people who don't care, but unranked means you're still in a, you know, you could have harder things, but you're just not getting
unranked.
So
has
not the hardcore people in there.
Yeah, unranked has like picks and bans, and it's like you know, 3 rounds in attack, 3 rounds on defense. Whereas casual is just you go in, you play, and like I think it's 2 round each and you're done.
Nice.
So it's a little bit less. Unranked is like it's the same as ranked, but you don't like you're not being placed like you don't get an actual rank in the game. So it's just to play the ranked rules, but without the stress, if you will, of being ranked. So I mean, I a lot of my friends, the people that I play with, don't like playing ranked because of that. Like they don't want to be ranked, they don't want to be given a number or whatever. So we just play unranked and we just have fun, and it's much more chill, and it's less stressful to play that way. So people like that better because we play to have fun. Like yes, we want to win, but we mostly play to have fun. So
that's cool.
That's what we do.
It's nice that they offer that in the game, different ways.
I mean,
not everybody. It's daunting to think about. Like, if I wanted to go back to Siege at this point, it would be daunting for me to do so.
Well, there's a newcomers playlist, but it really sucks because it's mostly people who bought new accounts and play it to shit on new people. So that, like, my girlfriend, when she started playing the newcomer playlist, when she started playing the newcomer playlist, just came out, so it's probably better now. But like when it first came out, it was mostly people who bought the game and then just to like shit on newcomers on and yeah, so that was kinda sucky. But now that it's been like 6 months, it's probably much better. So if you do play on the newcomers playlist, it's probably good. It's probably people that actually the first time playing, so. And yeah, unranked, like competitive, that is like we've been asking for that in CSGO for years and years, and they're not giving it to us, so I'm happy that it exists in Siege. That's why I'm gonna keep playing Siege.
Nice.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Do we want to get into the news of the week? I know we're finally starting to get into news. Like January, like everybody's starting to thaw out now.
Ready
to do that?
Let's go.
All right. Time for some news. Catherine, where do you want to start this week?
Oh, I want to prove EA wrong.
Oh, really?
I want EA to eat their words.
Really?
It's possible.
Because Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order sold 8 million copies.
That's awesome.
Wow.
A single player Star Wars games with no in-game transaction. sold 8 million copies.
Wow.
And their expectations were low. Kind of like how Apex Legend, their expectations were low, and they're just like, just release the game. And it was an instant success. Apex might not be eating the likes of Fortnite yet, but...
It's still pretty popular.
It's healthy. Yeah. It's popular. It's bringing in money. It's well made. And I just have this article from Eurogamer that just says EA was wrong.
Question for you, Kat. So I've got this article open. Mm-hmm. It says the title is Star Wars Jedi: Fallen Order beat EA's expectation by selling 8 million copies. And then the subheadline says Cash YYYK.
Kashyyyk.
What does that mean? Is that a Star Wars thing?
It's one of the planets, but they spelled it with cash. Because they make money.
Oh, they're trying to be funny. Okay.
Clever,
sorry, Emma Kent, the reporter who wrote this.
Is it one of the planets or one of the characters?
I don't know. Is usually spelled with a K?
You'd know better.
I don't know.
But yeah. During their Q3 earning calls, they said that it will likely reach 10 million copies by April. And I don't know what the base expectation was, but it says that it's significantly beaten expectations. So yeah, I'm guessing that's they were hoping for like a cool 5 million more probably copies sold. Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'm just waiting for a sale because I want to try it. I want to get
into
it.
Oh, I have it like... I have it on disc if you want to borrow it.
No, I'll buy it. Because I want to support Respawn and I want to have it digitally probably. So whenever it goes on sale, I'll get it.
So Respawn now up on pedestal? Two bangers in a row?
Yeah.
Respawn has always been really good. Like I'm glad
they're finally... Titanfall's so good.
They're finally getting the payback that they should be getting. They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother really enjoyed this game too. And he came to me and he's like... So I want another game like Star Wars Jedi. I'm like, well. And then he decided to go and play Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice.
Jesus Christ.
And he was like, this is so hard. I'm like, you need to go watch a YouTube video to learn how to play that game.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same at all.
No, Star Wars is way more forgiving. Star Wars needs to be a bit more accessible for everybody because it is too popular of a franchise to be that kind of game.
Hashtag truth.
Could Origins and Odyssey be a good substitute for what he wants?
He's already played them. Doug has played a lot.
I like Doug. I've never met him, but I like him already.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He's played... It's hard for me. He's a huge Darksiders fan. So he's waiting for Genesis to come out now next week. He knows that it's significantly different from the other games because it's more like a strategy game. Because I told him that. I was like, go watch some of the videos because it did come out on PC and Stadia last year. But I was like, go check that out and you can get an idea of what you're getting yourself into. But knowing him, he'll pick it up anyway. He's actually a big champion of that game that Allie played, the Mutants one that's on Game Pass. That's more of a strategy game. Do you guys remember that? It had like the duck. What is it called? Mutants?
Oh, yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. If one of you want to look it up. So, yeah, he got really into that like a few weeks back, maybe just before Christmas. And he's like, you need to play this. And I'm like, I've heard a lot about it. I'm like, it's like an XCOM game. He's like, a what? I'm like, an XCOM game, a strategy game. And he's like, I suppose. I was like, go look up XCOM. And if you have a Switch, go look up Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. You will have fun. But I think he's just got PlayStation at the moment.
Has he played Devil May Cry 5?
I don't think so. I'll tell him about that one. You think that's a good option for him? There's a big sale on PlayStation right now. Like what they call
if he likes Darksiders, like Devil May Cry 5.
Editor's Choice? Yeah. Okay,
like,
I'll tell him.
It's just like you follow a level and you smack enemies.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Bayonetta, then. That too.
I'm like just curating video games for him all the time.
Yeah, well, that's what Ali does for my girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're here for. Catherine, what else is going on in the video game world?
Well, co-founder of Rockstar Games, Dan Houser, is leaving Rockstar. So that's some big news. His departure comes after an extended break.
Yeah.
And he will officially depart as of March. So Take-Two Interactive sent out communications saying that Dan Houser, like, he co-founded Rockstar Game with his brother in 1998. And they've had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a little embedded tweet by Jason Schreier.
Oh, look at that.
That says, Dan Houser was a co-founder of the company, the lead writer on most of their games, including Grand Theft Auto V, the third best-selling game of all time, and one of the two men most responsible for Rockstar's culture. His departure will undoubtedly have a lot of ripple effect. And Rockstar's culture is not a good one, friends.
No. Yeah.
We had a lot of story about the crunch culture, the bro culture, the toxic masculine gamer gate, hardcore gamer type of persona. So it's some big news. Right now it's too early to say what it'll do to Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Blizzard's not doing great because of Activision. This could be for the better or for the worse, because unfortunately Rockstar does make good games, but at a very hefty price of the people that make the games.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen, if Rockstar is going to become a different, if their reputation is going to change, and if it becomes a better place to work at. Mm-hmm. And if the games still hold up.
Well, people are, I guess the outside must think that Dan, you know, this is a, you know, they don't know where this is going to go. And Take-Two stock definitely fell 5% following the announcement of his departure. What's interesting about his departure notice too is that it wasn't like a, hey, but, you know, like a professional, like, PR thing saying Dan Houser was leaving, or him having a tweet or anything like that. It was in like a finance report, because they had to put it in there, because they're, those guys don't like to talk a lot. Like, you don't see very many like interviews with Dan or his brother, and you also, like, they don't tweet a lot. Like, they're not that type of public facing figure in that sense. So it was interesting to see it like come out in that way. But yeah, I mean, this, it's gonna be interesting to see, because like, as much as like the work culture and stuff, like, he was often the creative mind behind a lot of stuff. Like, he helped write Red Dead Redemption 2, he helped write Grand Theft Auto 5, like, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of a turn they take for their games in the future. I mean, like, we don't know what's next for Rockstar. We haven't heard anything about Grand Theft Auto 6. I mean, they're still going strong with 5 and doing the online stuff, and then Red Dead Redemption 2, which is still doing well. So
could they be working on like another type of game, or, because it's, yeah, they've been pretty quiet.
They're doing something, but they haven't talked a whole lot, you know, like,
yeah,
they don't need to, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're making so much money with the online. It's crazy.
I wonder if, like, this dude's extended break was asked of him to see if they could change stuff while he was away. Mm. If he was part of the instigation of a lot of the bro culture.
Or if he felt himself that he just couldn't take it and he wanted to take a break and not do the full, you know, I quit or leaving the company, and just, you know, get his sense in order, came back and was like, yeah, I'm just tired. It's time to move on. And it doesn't say anywhere like what he's doing next or anything too. He's just won't be part of Rockstar anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will wait and see how that pans out. I mean, his brother will still be there, so. Simon, I've been hearing inklings on different podcasts and news stories about this thing called GeForce Now.
Yeah.
What is it?
So, in a giant fuck you to Google Stadia, NVIDIA released their own platform for cloud gaming, I guess you want to call it, but it's not exactly cloud gaming, as in the way that GeForce Now works. Currently, you have a free version. That means you can play the game, the games you want, for an hour at a PlayStation, and then you have the founders Edition, which is $5, which enables you to play any game you own. So it's a game that you yourself own on any platform. On PC, sorry. So if you own that game on PC, you can then stream that game with GeForce Now to any device you have. So on your tablet, on your on another PC, on your phone, on anything you want, you can stream the game you own to that device. So the big difference between Google Stadia and GeForce Now is that Google Stadia provides the game. So if the catalog that Google Stadia offers doesn't have the game you want to play, well, it won't be there. Of course, it's not all the games for GeForce Now. I think EA doesn't have any games on there right now. They're still kind of building up the catalog of games that are able to be on there, but it's still already over 1,000 games that NVIDIA supports compared to Google's, I don't want 100, maybe not even. I don't know how many games they have. So I got a couple of people who tried it. I know Albin tried it, and apparently it works well. Of course, you need a pretty beefy internet connection. Because you know you're playing games at 4K 60 FPS. So if you want it to work properly, you really need a beefy internet connection. But what's cool is that you can actually play games. And if you play the Founders Edition, if you paid for the Founders Edition of the subscription, you can play games with RTX on, even if you don't have an RTX machine. So games like Control, Minecraft, Shadow Tomb Raider, you can actually play with RTX on without having to pay premium thousands of dollars to be able to have a video card that can do RTX. Wow. So that's actually pretty cool.
I went to the website. It's $6.49 a month for us Canadians.
Oh, sorry. Not bad. Yes.
For a year. You have to sign up for a year.
Yeah. So, I mean, even like just to try it, I'm definitely going to try it because you've got the, you know, for free, you can just do standard access. So, you have access to RTX and you can only play for an hour. So, there's a little like maximum amount of time. But just to try it, to give it a go and see how it works and see like if your internet connection can handle it, then it's actually pretty cool.
I think that's fantastic. What a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, and I think that, you know, it's not. I feel like the Xbox, what is it called? Xbox Cloud,
XCloud.
I feel like that's probably going to be also the next step. But like being able to play the games you already own on any device that you want, that's actually pretty cool. So if you're a fan of PC gaming and you have a lot of PC games, jump onto that and you'll be able to play on anything you want.
Yeah, I'm looking it up here now. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and like
that 1 hour test, I think that's key. And like I can see xCloud being something similar. I mean, it's now out in beta for us here in Canada. It hasn't been. It only came out like last week before. Mm-hmm. And I personally can't partake in that because I don't have an Android device, and it only right now is in beta iPhone. For Android. But yeah, I really do want to try that once it comes out for iOS and stuff. Kat could give it a spin. I know you are an Android device gal.
Yeah. I just haven't had the need, I guess. Yeah. The situation where I feel I should be, I wanted or needed to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do like a episode where each one of us tries a different one. Someone could try Stadia. Someone could try xCloud. Someone could try GeForce. And then we reconvene.
Ali's going to try xCloud.
She's already done
I'm not doing Stadia. Sorry. We can have someone who already has Stadia on here because I don't think any of us are going to buy Stadia.
I'm still curious to see what the whole thing is like, right?
Pat in our Discord channel, he uses
it. That's true.
Yeah, he uses it to play Destiny, he said.
Which, cool. Well, and that's the thing, you know, for GeForce Now, you know, a friend of mine tried it and he's like, you can't really play shooters on your phone, but it's there, like the option is there. So if ever you it's something you want to do, then you can do it. Actually, it's funny because Razer announced the Razer Kishi, I think it was a couple months ago at CES, Consumer Electronics Show, and they won all the awards for it. Basically, it's just like kind of a dock that you put your phone in, and then you kind of clip around your phone, then you can use it to play a game. It's nothing new. It's something that's been like around for years and years, but I think the technology behind it is like really advanced in terms of connection, in terms of portability too, because like you can just kind of like close it and snip it together, so it's like really portable whenever you want to move it around, and it looks really good too. So if you want a game on the go, the Razer Kishi along with the GeForce Now I think would be a really good option for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. And I don't know if you want me to talk about the Warcraft 3.
Yeah, I'm curious because I've been hearing inklings of this one too, and it looks like an absolute clusterfuck.
Yeah, so Warcraft 3 Reforged came out, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a week
ago. Is that like a remake? Sorry, I am not a Warcraft follower.
It is
so
a
bear
remake.
With me.
It is a remake of Warcraft 3. So they had announced it back in 2018 at BlizzCon. And basically, you know, Warcraft 3 is one of the most popular RTSs out there, along with StarCraft. Like every Dota game like came out, like Dota, League of Legends, whatever, originally was a Warcraft 3 mod. And so, you know, of course, very popular. And people were still playing it. It was still happening, tournaments online. But yeah, Blizzard announced that they were going to be remaking completely Warcraft 3. People are excited, super like, oh my God, it's going to be great, it's going to be cool. And then it came out, and it was shit. Tons of bugs, tons of tons of people not being able to get the game to work. And I think that what frustrated people the most was that it deleted the original Warcraft 3 files and replaced them with the Reforged one.
Why?
So if it, 'cause they don't want to have two versions of the game. So if you want to play Warcraft 3 like classic, you can't anymore unless you go online and download it and play it offline. So if you absolutely want to play online, you have to play the Reforged version, which, again, full of bugs, not working properly, just complete clusterfuck. And one of the things also that people are saying that's kind of crazy is that whenever people made maps in Warcraft 3 or mods in Warcraft 3, well, they made the mod, they made the map, and it was their own. As of right now, whenever you install Warcraft 3 Reforged, and if you make a map or if you make a mod, it you don't own anything. Everything is owned by Blizzard. So people are like, well, fuck you. Like, if I want to make mods and I want to keep your game going, and if I want to create new game types, you guys own everything that I make, and I can't do anything about it. So people are like, well, fuck you. We're just not going to do anything and not going to update any of our mods that we have for Warcraft 3. So again, people are kind of pissed at that. And they also released in 2018, when they first announced Reforged, there was a cutscene, a video of Arthas and Uther walking to Stratholme, and it was this whole important cutscene, and like they showed it completely redone, remade with new animations and new backgrounds and everything, and then it was nowhere to be seen in the actual game. So they showed that off, and they only made that for BlizzCon, and that's it. Like, they had no intention of actually remastering all of the cutscenes. So they just showed that to kind of lead people astray and be like, well, no, just kidding. We're not actually going to remaster any of the animation. This was just to show off what it was to show off what the system could do, but not actually do any of it.
Wow.
Bullshit.
Why?
Such bullshit.
Yeah.
Bother.
So
Blizzard's
right
not
now,
having a good past few months.
Yeah, right now they're the masters of minimum viable product. So they release something that kind of works, and then they'll update it as they go, which is kind of sad considering what Blizzard used to be back then. Yeah, but now it's just it's a complete shit show. It's crazy. And then they had a developer update where you know they talked about what was happening and what their plans for the game was, and it was basically PR talk, you know, saying, we know, yeah, we're sorry, we missed you, and we're sorry we did not deliver what we wanted to say, and it just doesn't know.
If they know, like, that it's not gonna, like, say they have to get it out because they have to get it out for monetary reasons. If they could come out and say, hey guys, we have to put this out, it's not up to what it was supposed to be, but don't worry, we're going to be updating it, bear with us. Do you think that people would take that better than just putting it out? They would rather just wait?
No, because gamers don't want that anymore. Right now, like, we're in a what's the word? We're in a moment in time, or like where gamers don't want rushed games. Like, we keep seeing developers push back game releases, and everyone being like, "That's fine, take all the time you need to make it good on release." So we're at that time in the gaming world where people rather you take more time to deliver a game than anything else. So no. I don't think that
you don't think if they prefaced it and said that we'll do a slow release.
No, people would have rather said, then don't release it. Take your time, like, push it back 6 months and make it good from day one.
Yeah, so, but they there's some reason why they couldn't put it. They couldn't wait.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they got all their logic in here. It's so funny because, like, this is always something when you think about minimal viable product and you go look into something and you're like, okay, how much usage? You know, you have to weigh the work versus reward, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's things that maybe take a lot of work and you see that people are not really playing them that much. Because I'm reading one of the paragraphs of the links that you posted, Simon. And, you know, they look and they assess what pieces of the game people are actually using. And if not many people are using it, they're like, well, this is going to take us a month to build and like 5% of our user base does it. Is it really worth it? And they evaluate that based on, you know, it's either that or get some other piece out. And they even wrote here, I think it's the fourth or fifth paragraph down. There are some individual concerns we've seen that we are not currently planning to address, and we wanted to give the community a heads up. As of version 1.3 of the original game, we saw very low usage of tournaments and the Reign of Chaos rule set. So we removed both in mid-2019 in version 1.31, eliminating the maintenance for underused elements that help us streamline our overall support of the game and focus on areas impacting the most players. That said, we do anticipate that players who prefer Reign of Chaos will find custom games with similar rule sets, which we hope will help satisfy that concern. So, like, they're looking at it and being and
the community will fix it for us.
Right, but at the same time, it's like, well, if you're doing a complete remaster, then people are expecting the same game again.
They're expecting the same thing, just with better graphics, not less features.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a hard one to balance because, yeah, if nobody's using it, then why put the effort into building it? But then it's a backlash.
It was there before.
The thing
why
in there.
Not put it
so
again?
Then you, but then you're weighing, well, then why are you doing a remaster at all? Do you know what I mean?
For the money. To sell the game again. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
They want to sell the game again.
But that's what I'm saying. But you're weighing it up against, you've already had all this bad PR. How much is the bad PR worth?
Apparently enough that people that's why you never pre-order games, people.
Yeah,
that's exactly why. Like, they were hyping it up and they were just, you know, trying to get as many people to pre-order the game as they can so that they'll be able to make some money and then work on the game, update it in the next couple of years and make it as it was before. Whereas people see a reforging, redoing, or whatever, and expect the game that we had before plus all these awesome new features that weren't there before. But that's not at all what's happening. It's the game with less features but with prettier graphics. So
yeah,
that's why it's being called Warcraft 3 Refund.
Yeah,
well, at first they weren't accepting refunds. Sorry, Leah. Accepting refunds, and then they were like, okay, well, you have to open a ticket, and now they're at the point where they're automatically if you played the game, if you didn't play the game, whatever the amount of hours you have in there, if you ask for a refund, you'll get it right away. So at least they're doing that to kind of try to control the backlash. But, yeah, you know, their reputation is done at this point.
Yeah. The change in the EULA, I find very fascinating as well.
Yeah.
Where if you do a custom camp, custom map, Blizzard owns that info. And I think...
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting to change that after the fact. I don't know what their logic was in doing that.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a weird one because it wasn't there before. So why
I know why. It's because they got burned for Dota. Because in Warcraft 3, like, you didn't have to, like, if modders created something, then they could just use it and it was their own, and they got burned because they tried to get the Dota license back. Like, they tried to be like, well, you guys created Dota on Warcraft 3, technically this should be us, so the MOBA gameplay should be, like, Blizzard should own it, and they lost. So, like, potential billions and billions of dollars that they lost if they had kept a MOBA license, if you will, like the owners of the MOBA type of game. So maybe that's why they're like, everything now you create on that game is ours.
So hold on, I think there's maybe a bit of history here that I'm lacking. So in Warcraft, someone built
Warcraft 3,
what is Dota,
exactly,
in that MOBA inside the system through mods and whatever else,
exactly,
and that became Dota. Dota is not owned by Warcraft or by Blizzard, right? It's Riot?
No, it's Valve.
So someone then took it and made it into Dota as an actual game.
Exactly. So games like League of Legends and Dota are based off a Warcraft 3 mod. And Blizzard can't do shit about it.
And now Blizzard is salty about it because they didn't own the rights to it, even though it
was built in Warcraft 3.
But it wasn't their idea.
Nope. And Blizzard tried. Like, I remember I was in, like, high school, and when, like, Dota 2 came out and League of Legends was starting to grow, and people were like, well, and Blizzard tried to get back their money and be like, no, this happened in Warcraft 3. It's ours. It's not yours. And it's our intellectual propriety, but it's not at all. So yeah, it was kind of iffy from the start. So they've been salty about it.
That's an interesting one. Cause that's almost like the music rights business, right? And someone using a sample, right? And they get some sort of proprietary, you know, there's legal stuff that happens and whatever when people steal samples and things like that if they don't credit it back appropriately.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating. I did not know that at all. I bet you there's probably some documentary video about that on YouTube that
you can find something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if NoClip did one.
Yeah, probably. Gotta go back and watch more NoClip. So many good videos on there, documentaries. All right, guys, I got a bit of a silly news story for you.
Oh, let's go silly.
So,
sorry.
You know, that was my Valley Girl accent. Of the interwebs, and I saw this picture of a dude on a treadmill, and he was like, got a backpack on, and he looked like he was really, really, like, the picture is like, he looks like he's putting a lot of effort in trying to walk because he had, like, straps attached to his backpack. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then I realized it's a controller mod for a treadmill for the ultimate walking sim, Death Stranding.
Well.
So.
Wow.
It's not stupid if it works.
You've got to watch this video. So the gentleman YouTuber Alan Pan, he does a lot of these different types of videos on YouTube, a lot of, like, ones that involve, like, science and things like that and doing different wacky things. But this one in particular, it's called turning a treadmill into a PS4 controller so I can exercise. And essentially in the video, as you watch it through, he prefaces it being like, you know, January, everybody wants to get back in shape, you know, and me, we all start, but we don't, you know, we don't keep up with it. It's a challenge. How can we do that when I just want to sit on my couch and play video games? And as he's like showing all of this, he conveniently comes up upon a abandoned, broken down treadmill at the side of the road. So of course he hauls that into his house and he starts looking into it to see if it's possible to mod this thing to turn it into a controller for a
legend
the walking sim of amazing. All time, Death Stranding. So he does, and he uses the it's one of the mechanics inside to be able to, based on the voltage, decide and replace the left analog stick for either walk or run. And he's strapped onto the treadmill, I think, because where this thing is broken and not being powered, it's only being powered by his feet. It's actually a lot of effort that they have to put in order to get to walk and then to run state. But he modded a aftermarket controller as well to take out the left analog stick so he can still play everything else, control his camera, do everything, but his walk slash run is controlled by the treadmill. Really funny when he goes and does it, and then he gets his buddy to go and do it, and they're like, this is hard. And then, like, you know, in this game too, how you have to balance the backpack at the same time, and you know, they totally forget about that because they focus on how much effort they're exerting to walk.
Hey man, it's like one of the best ways to lose weight. It works.
Yeah, so shape. Yeah, and he's like, look, he goes at the camera, he's like, look, I'm sweating. But what's crazy about this too is that not only has, you know, the internet and Polygon wrote the article that we'll have linked in the story, but Hideo Kojima, Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen also all tweeted it, because it was actually Mads Mikkelsen's tweet that I saw that I was like, what the hell? It's so cool. Like, way to be ingenious to like figure out how to mod things on a totally different way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that we talked about that, Leah, earlier, and we're like, I remember back when I was younger, there was like I saw a video of someone attaching a bicycle to a monitor. So like, if they wanted their monitor to light up, they had to like bike under their desk. So they basically biked all day, and it worked. Like,
wow.
I'm sure they would get in shape, have massive legs and crabs, yeah, probably. But
leg day all day,
you know.
Well, I mean, we're seeing more and more of this, of like exercising being put into video games, the gamification of exercising. I mean, we've talked about it. Pokemon Go is a perfect example. I know myself, like, doing the Just Dance and Dance Dance Revolution. Beat Saber is a freaking workout if you start getting up on expert. And now, like, Nintendo has that, what is it called?
Ring Fit.
Yeah, Ring Fit.
I want to try it.
I'm seeing commercials for that left, right, and center. I'm hearing nothing but good about it. But yeah, turning your game into a video game, you know, to get like kill two birds with one stone seems to be a common theme now, which, you know, we want to have a reason to go exercise, because no offense, going to the gym, staring at yourself in a mirror as you run for 30 minutes, not my idea.
It's not fun. Yeah.
Not at all. That's why I did team sports growing up. Because then at least, like, I felt like at least I'm chasing after a rubber iced disc
and
covered in
like
pads with a thin stick in my
hands. You're doing something for a reason.
Yeah, when I was swimming at 6 a.m. and, like, barely controlling my breath, half suffocating, you know? Like, I did it because it was fun. There was, like, an activity to it, and just the exercise was an added bonus, right?
Yeah.
I need it to be a bonus. It can't be the main goal, because then I will not stick to it.
I'm the same. I went to the gym for 3 months, and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I keep getting disappointed in the gym. And there's also like gym anxiety. Whereas if you can do that shit at home, it's like, yeah, at home, I'm just like, whatever, this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. But even just, you know, it's even a challenge just to keep yourself up with doing it in a game. Like, there needs to be, I like the fact that like certain things would nag at you, like Pokemon Go would nag at you a little bit to be like, there are reasons for you to go out and do things now that you know, trick you into exercising. Let's call it that. Trick me into exercising.
Trick you into moving.
Because, I mean, I know today, most of my day today, being Saturday, is going to be exchanging laundry and then sitting down playing Stardew Valley. And then exchanging laundry and then sitting down and playing Stardew Valley. And it's minus 20 out here today. And Catherine and Simon are in the snow, after the snow. So, like, we don't want to leave our houses.
It's pretty fucking cold.
But I can't see me legitimately getting an old treadmill and hacking it and having it in my house.
This is like going way too far.
He's doing it for the views, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that's a good one. See, he's got triple threat there. Doing it for the views, the exercise, and the gaming. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that pretty much closes out our show for this week. I want to give Kat and Simon a chance to shout out their social media handles so you can follow them. But before we do that, I want to invite you to check out the show notes to this episode. So all the stories we talked about, even that Twitter account that Kat mentioned, the Wholesome Game one, will be linked on girlsongames.ca in the show notes for this episode. Additionally, if you enjoy this episode and, you know, you want to help us get the word out there, please go do rate and review it on the podcast service where you're currently consuming this piece of content. It really does help get the numbers up there. And I want to thank the team for being on the show this week. So give them a chance to shout out their social media handles. Catherine, where can people find you?
I'm CSDSBINSCSDBA on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me for photos of snow because that's all we have right now.
Your hat that you had on yesterday, that UBMTL hot yellow one, where can someone acquire one of those? Or are they UBMTL
by
only?
Working at Ubisoft Montreal specifically. Or by dating someone that works there so that you can steal.
How about if you're best friends with someone who works at Ubisoft Montreal?
If you want one, Leah, I'll check to see if I can get one. An extra one.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so nice.
They're so cute. But Catherine, that yellow color looks so good on you.
It's her aesthetic.
Oh my God.
We get one every year.
Yeah.
I have three so far. Pascal lost the one from last year. But when they came out, people were like, hot yellow. Are they sure about this? And I was like, yes, thank you. And I told everybody, you don't want that hat. You give it to me, man.
Yeah, I actually bought a crop top. I know, I bought a crop top, but I bought high-waisted jeans. But I bought a crop top the other day that is like that highlighter yellow/green color that I think you would appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Highlighter yellow.
I'll take a picture.
It's funny.
I'll take a picture.
Just saying the name highlighter yellow, you know exactly what kind of yellow it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is
blinding. But this one's like kind of green, kind of yellow, you know, sits in that. It's like that high, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like my office walls.
It's very rare that those colors look good on somebody, but it always looks good on you.
Thank you.
It's her aesthetic for a reason.
Yeah. Simon, where can people track you down?
They can't. You can instead follow on Twitter, owl_kitty. So he or she, I don't know, is a black cat, and the owners Photoshop him and premiere him into videos and into movies, into video game announcement. They added him in Super Smash Brothers, and it's fucking insane how good it looks.
Oh my God, it's freaking Billie Eilish bad guy video.
Yes, that as well.
Followed retweeting this after we're done.
It's very, very cool. So like I guess the owners of Owl Kitty is very good at video editing and photoshopping, because they keep putting the cat in very cool situations, like the royal baby. So they replace the royal baby by the cat, so you just see like Prince Harry holding the cat right there.
I love the Super Smash one.
Yeah, the Smash one is amazing. So yeah, go like they don't post super often because it probably takes a lot of time to do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, go check out their Twitter. They post a lot of videos and pictures of the cat in funny situations. So
oh my God, my music news writer from iHeart would adore this. I just saw one where he put him with Madonna. Oh my God, it's fabulous.
So yeah. And one of the good ones was if Baby Yoda was a cat, and then just replace Baby Yoda with Owl Kitty, That's really cute.
This is fabulous.
I love this so much.
Oh my god! Did you see the one with the cat taking the football?
Yeah, like, nope.
Oh my god! Oh my god, this is going to be my next hour. Thank you, Simon.
Yeah. No problem.
And I am Leah Jew, our most social media platforms. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. And you can track us down at Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We're on Instagram as well as just Girls on Games. No the in there. If you'd like to continue this lovely conversation and more, discord.me/girls on games. Guys, we've been getting lots of new people come in. So welcome
yeah,
to the
come
chaos.
Say hi.
And
don't
the
just
fun.
Ask. Don't just ask if you play Fortnite. Just come in and say hi and be cool.
Come hang, man. Come hang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but of course, if you want to know anything at all, when it has to come to Girls on Games, you can go to our website. That's our home base, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Allie, we miss you. We'll see you next week. I need to hear about the Trixie Mattel event. So jelly. All right. Off to do what you do on Saturdays. Laundry and play Stardew Valley. Real life, yo. All right, we're
bye.
Out.
Bye.